Good evening, brethren and friends. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles, I'll be going to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. This morning we talked about the blessing of access. In talking about access, what I was speaking about and we were learning and studying this morning is the access that we have as people, as children of God, to come into the glory of God the Father in heaven. We talked about how the Old Testament didn't have the same privileges that we have today, in that they were not allowed to even be close to God, physically speaking. When He was on Mount Sinai, they were not allowed to be too close. When His presence was in the tabernacle, in the place of the Most Holy, that they were not allowed to come into the tabernacle because of His holiness and His righteousness. His people could not come into that type of, they could not come that close to Him. But as we studied this morning, we have something far better than they did in the Old Testament. We have access to God, and we have that access through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I hope that as we consider these things and we consider that we do have something better than people had before us, I certainly hope that we'll go home and we'll think about this and we'll get on our knees and we will pray to God and we will say thank you for what we have been given. It's not something that we should overlook, not something that we should pass over because we've had it our whole lives and we don't know anything different. It is something great that we need to go to God and thank Him for that we have. But in exchange for that access that we have to God through the Son, God asks us for something in exchange. Not a life trying to repay Him. Not a troubled life, because any attempt to try to repay God, repay Jesus in any way is futile. There's nothing that we can do that could ever repay what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the life that we can live in Jesus Christ is not one of burden. A lot of people in the world see that becoming a Christian, while sounds like a good theory, really allows them not to do certain things they want to do, allows them not to participate in things they once did, and they think it's a burden to be a child of God. Matthew 11 and 30, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What is asked is not burdensome. What is asked is simply to obey God, to obey Jesus out of love and respect. Love and respect for the one, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who gave everything of Himself so that we can have access, so that we can live forever in eternity with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit. That's what I want to talk to us about tonight in Hebrews chapter 10. We read through 19 through 23 this morning. I want to do that again, and our focus tonight is going to be on verses 22 and 23. But let's read again Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God," verse 22, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." This evening my goal is going to be very simple, perhaps more simple than some other lessons I've brought, because I want to make this as clear as possible as I can, as easy to grasp from whatever age we are this evening. In exchange for that access that we have, there are two groups of people in the world today. The first group of people are those that are lost, those that have not yet obeyed the gospel, those who have not yet put God first in their life, repented away from their sins, allowed baptism to wash them clean. So for you this evening, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or you're 103 years old. The same thing applies. If you're someone tonight who has not yet obeyed the gospel, this is what is in exchange. This is what God asks of you for the access that Jesus Christ gives you. The first thing we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near. Let us draw near." If you're not yet a child of God and you want to know what to do to please God, what you can possibly do to gain this access, let me explain what this access is a little bit more than I'm talking about today. This is that we get to enter into the kingdom of heaven after this life is over. That means that we are allowed to be in heaven in the very presence of God Almighty. We're allowed to come together and worship Him and be in fellowship with Him, be in fellowship with one another as we worship and serve God. We must draw near to God. If you're someone who has not yet obeyed the gospel and you want to understand how to have these things, how to have the access that Jesus Christ provides, you must draw near. James 4, verses 7 through 10 talks about this very thing in drawing near to God. When it says, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Verse 9. "Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up." I want to point out some key words in these verses. If you are not yet a child of God, you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you have not yet been baptized, here's what you need to do to gain this access. First and foremost, submit to God. We live in a world, a nation, this United States, a blessed nation at that, where we have all types of freedoms. But in exchange for some of these freedoms, how many of us feel entitled to get whatever we can get, and it's all about us first. It's about what can I do for myself, and then maybe our family second, and God somewhere down lower on the list. That's the nation we live in where it's get yours while you can, worry about other people maybe later if you have the opportunity. God says submit to Him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you do that? You draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Drawing near to God is not just coming to a worship service, friends. Drawing near to God is not just coming on a Wednesday night Bible study. Drawing near to God is not saying, "I was there on Sunday. I went to a Bible study." Drawing near is a personal relationship between you and God. That means that you want to do what He asks you to do because you love Him, you respect Him, you draw near to Him. Cleanse your hands. What's this mean? Cleanse your hands. They're dirty. Dirty of sin. If you have sin in your life, well then there's good news for you. You're just like a Christian. A Christian does not mean that we are completely without sin. It means that we have allowed Jesus to cleanse our sins and we continue to go for Him for that cleansing, for that access. If you have sin in your life, cleanse it. Purify your heart. Heart meaning that anything in your heart that you're putting before God, any thoughts that you know that God would be unhappy with, purify that. If you want to know what to do to have access to come into God's presence, if you're not yet a child of God, you need to know that you need to draw near to Him by doing these things, finally humbling yourself. That seems like a hard thing for us to do in this country, doesn't it? Humble yourselves. How many times, I'm guilty, a lot of times I'm just really joking about it. I'm not really being serious, but just to get me back anyway, my parents, especially my mother, sometimes my wife, they like to remind me that when I tell somebody I'm humble, well, then you're really not that humble if you have to tell somebody you're humble, are you? Of course, a lot of times I'm just joking, but that is the mindset of many of us, and we slip into that by accident or by purpose. Humble yourselves. That means it's not always about you. It's more about God than it is yourself. This evening, if you want to know how to draw near to God, I want to give you some examples by looking at Hebrews chapter 10 and especially verse 22 for those in this state. You must draw near to God with a true heart. A true heart, Hebrews chapter 10 and 22 says. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10 speaks more about this topic. It says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." When God asks you to draw near to Him, have a true heart, I ask you, how is your heart this evening? A lot of times we want everybody else around us to think that person's pure. That person's a good person. They don't know what's going on in here, do they? We can fool each other all we want to. We can act like the best people in the world. If you're a Christian, you can act like the best Christian, the most righteous person that you know. And the deepest, darkest thoughts are going on in your head. God says to humble yourself, come to me, and do so with a pure heart, a true heart. When I look at these, I want to make a parallel with Hebrews chapter 10 and 22. Two steps that you should take to become a child of God. When I hear that you need to come to God with a true heart, here's what I think. I think that means you need to believe. John chapter 8 and 24, therefore I said to you that you will die. Notice that. That is no small matter. You will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you are not yet a child of God and you want to know how to please God, in exchange for that access Jesus has given you to become a child of God, draw near with a true heart. That means with a true heart you believe. This also can be said for those of us that are talking to people about becoming a Christian. I know a lot of people that have close friends, close family members, and they so badly want them to become a child of God that they will do everything they can to push them in that direction. Brethren, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to push those that are lost towards God. But there can become a moment where they're doing their decision making because they're just trying to please you. Some people will be baptized just to get people off of their shoulders. They'll get baptized because they think it's the thing to do. Because people have told them to do it. I must need to do it. I'll please my parents. I'll please my spouse. I'll please my friends. They'll get off my back. I'll just be baptized. God says to draw near to Him with a true heart. He knows everything in our minds. When you decide that you want to be baptized, it must be because you believe, not because somebody forced you into it. A second thing, you must draw near to God with a true heart, and you must draw near to God with full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10 and 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Romans chapter 10 and 17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to know how to draw near to God with full assurance, that means that you need to own your faith. What that means is it can't be somebody else's faith. You can't be coming to a worship service and thinking you're going to be saved because you're around a lot of good people. It has to be about you, your personal relationship. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you can have a home in heaven. But that is only for those that draw near to Him with a true heart, with their faith, not somebody else's faith. Hebrews chapter 10, we're in. I want to ask you to go one over chapter 1 over Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Here's a warning for those who are not yet saved. You want to know how to please God in exchange for that access that you can have in Christ Jesus? Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. A few things here. How can you please God? You can't without faith. That's number one. Second thing I see here is that if you do believe and if you do have faith, you're going to receive a reward. Who? Those who diligently seek Him. Not those who seek Him when it's convenient. Not those that seek Him every once in a while, seek Him when people are looking, seek Him to make other people happy. Jesus Christ gives us access to God the Father. He gives us access to a home in heaven. He gives us access so that we do not have to die in our sins. But in exchange for that, there's some things that are required of you. If you're not yet a child of God, you must draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. and having your heart sprinkled clean. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 again. It tells us having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. I want to quote New American Standard. There's a word in here that I think helps us to understand what this means a little bit more. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The New American Standard says, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Sprinkled clean. In other words, you want to know how to draw near to God? Do it with a true heart, with your own faith, and sprinkle clean. Well, what's that mean? How do you sprinkle yourself clean? Well, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This tells us something very plain. Repent and be converted. It's talking about baptism. We'll talk more about that in our next point, but this is talking about baptism. Repenting. Evil conscience means there's things on your heart. There's things as we sit here right now that I don't know about you. There's just things, I call some of you my very close friends. Do things with you all the time outside of this building, outside of worshiping God. But there's some things that I probably just don't know about you. There's something evil probably inside. We all have something. There's got to be something inside me that you don't know. There's always something inside that we need to get rid of. A Christian can get rid of those things through repenting. It means they turn around, recognizing what it is, pointing out, saying, I don't want to do that anymore. If you're not yet a child of God, you don't have that opportunity. You're still with an evil conscience. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I love this line, so that times of refreshing may come. I think of refreshing, I think of I've been outside in the yard all day and I'm sweaty and mud and dirt all over me. What I want to go and I want to go take a shower. Refreshing. Some of you have pools. I do not. I very much look forward to the time. I've already started talking about this with some of you when I will be hot and I will be looking forward to jumping in your pool this summer. For refreshing, because it's hot and I don't have one. That's what happens when we're dirty, when we're hot. We need something to refresh us. When you have nothing but sin in your life, you're held down. You're held down because there's so much in your life that's keeping you away from God. You can't even feel spiritually refreshed. How can you feel refreshed? Repent and be converted. You must draw near to God with a true heart, with your own assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled clean through repentance. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 10 and 22, it says, and our bodies washed with pure water. Friends, this is not talking about some special holy water. There's no water that we keep back in a back room somewhere. And this is the only thing that can heal you. This is the only thing that can release you from your sins. No, it's simply talking about the way of conversion, the way that you can gain this access, what God wants from your obedience. It's being washed by water. Being washed by water, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It's for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is just that simple. It is just that simple. So many people have discussions and debates and disagreements on what saves. When are you saved? Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27 says, all of you that are Christians, how did you become that way? 27 says, because you were baptized into Christ. It did not say that you confessed into Christ, that you believed into Christ, that you were a great person and you're in Christ. Says if you want to gain that access into God's kingdom, then you must be baptized into Christ. For that very reason, that's why on the day that Peter is preaching a sermon, and he's telling people, he's convicting them in their heart, and He's looking them in the eye and saying, you are the ones who killed the Savior. Can you imagine being told that? That's like somebody coming up to you that knows your deepest, darkest secret, walking up to you and pointing the finger at you and saying, you're the one who does this sin, I know it, and you're a sinner. The next question I hope would come out of your mouth, it would come out of mine, that's right, I did do that. Then what can I possibly do to make God happy again? What can I possibly do to get that sin off of my shoulders? Peter tells the people that very thing when they ask him. Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter says, you need to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift of the Holy Spirit is exactly what we've been talking about today. It is the gift of refreshing, the gift of sins clean, the gift of being able to be in a oneness with God, a family with God, having a home in heaven one day with God. If you're not yet a child of God, you need to understand that there is an open door. An open door that stands there at all times for you to enter. It's called salvation. But just like everything else on earth, there's something asked in return. I don't know any of you this morning or this evening that go to your jobs and say, you know what, boss? I just love you and this company. I'm just going to work for free this week. How many of you would do that? I don't see any hands raising. God gives us the ultimate gift. Jesus gave us the ultimate gift on the cross. He gave us eternal life. He doesn't ask anything hard. All He asks is love, respect, obedience, just like we ask of our children. If you're lost, you have not yet become a child of God, then you need to understand to gain this access, there are but a few things that you need to do. Draw near to Him with a true heart. With your own faith, having your heart sprinkled clean, repenting away from the sins in your life, and allowing water, baptism, to cleanse you of your sins. And this evening, before we close this lesson, it's not all about those that have not yet been saved. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. I want to read this again with us. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Brethren in Christ, I want to talk to you for just a moment as we close this lesson. You've gained the access. You've been baptized. You're living in Christ. You have a hope of heaven at the end of this earthly life. But I so hope that you look at your walk with God. The day that you were baptized as the beginning of your journey, it is not the end. See, if we're looking up at a mountain, think about all the people walking and living around the mountain. That's the people of the world. They're not approaching the mountain. They don't care about climbing the mountain. They don't even have any gear on to do anything about climbing the mountain. As a Christian, when we decide we want to obey God, and we're baptized, that means we put on the armor, right? It's time to do battle. Time to finish the race for God. Time to climb up the mountain and obey and do whatever God asks us to. So, brethren in Christ, in exchange for that access that you've been so freely given, there's some things that we need to give back to God as well. And the first one is that we must continue. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast. That means we must continue. We must continue to do the things that God asks us. I don't have to go through a laundry list of sins, a laundry list of things that may or may not be going in your life. You know. I know what it is for myself, and you know what it is for yourself. I ask you, are you continuing to be faithful to God? We are asked in exchange for this to be Christians. Hold fast daily. I want us to go to a scripture. I want us to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read verses 8 and 9 with you. This is a reminder for us that are Christians that have put on the blood of Christ through baptism. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 is a reminder to us when it says, "Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I think it was like maybe a year ago or so, I remember. There was a big story in the news. It was about this family had all of these exotic animals that would normally belong in a zoo. But for somehow, they had passed by authorities and they had all of these animals in their yard. I think the gentleman passed away and somehow all the animals escaped. And it was a huge deal. What are we going to do with these animals that can possibly eat and kill humans? We've got to do something about them right now. And I don't even think they had a decision made, but a few hours. It was that important. It was that important. Are you telling me there's a lion in the streets? There's a tiger? There's these things that could kill somebody? We're not even going to wait to discuss it with a group of people. No, we're going to kill them, and we're going to kill them right now. You're like, of course. Of course we would. We can't allow them to hurt anybody. Brethren, how can we see that there are actual lions, tigers, maybe in the world that can do us damage, but we cannot see the roaring lion that we just read about in 1 Peter 5 and 8? How can you not see that? I want to put a mental picture in your head as you walk through your life this week at work and whatever it is that you do. Every single time that something is put in front of you to tempt you, don't write that off as just, "That's nothing." That's Satan. That's the lion. He's putting that in front of you. He did it on purpose. He didn't do it by accident. You weren't accidentally introduced to a sin. If there's a sin that you really struggle with and there it is in front of your face again, that's not by accident. That is Satan deliberately trying to show you, "Do this. Don't obey God. Don't continue. Don't hold fast. Don't do any things that God wants you to do. Do what makes you feel good." This morning we talked about what an awesome, awesome place heaven is going to be. The access we have, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was beaten for us, who's a sinner. We owe it to Him out of love and respect to continue to hold fast. Remember to be sober and vigilant. Every time something happens around you that's a temptation, it's Satan. It's the roaring lion. He's seeking who he may devour, and he wants nothing more to devour every single one of you in this room, including myself. See, Satan doesn't have to work so hard at those he already has, does he? Why would he have to? They're in his back pocket. They're already sinning daily. Who cares? I don't have to tempt them. They're tempting themselves. It's the Christians who he has to try harder for, who he does try harder for. For those of us who are children of God, in exchange for that access into heaven, this week as we go in our normal walks of life, remember to hold fast. Remember to not waver. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How? Without wavering. Without wavering. I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is talking to every single one of us who are Christians, children of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, we are asked in exchange for our access to not waver, to be steadfast, to be immovable. How many of us work around people that constantly disagree with you about spiritual matters? Constantly even maybe make fun of you, belittle you, make little side comments just to poke fun at you. We have a choice to make. Choice one, we do not waver. We don't hear those teaching, false teaching around us, and we stand up and we say, that's not what the Bible says. Or we can say, I'll go along with the crowd because that's easier. It is in us as human beings to be a little bit of a follower. To do what the crowd does. Not go against the tide. I like to think of myself as a leader, not a follower. I've been that way since I was a little kid. I've always been a little different. Imagine that, right? A little different than all those around me. I've wanted to do my own thing. I didn't want to do what everybody else wanted to. If they had something on, I didn't want to wear that. I wanted to wear something different. But as much as I think that I'm a leader, I catch myself all the time seeing that somebody's doing that. And look, I'm doing it because I think they're cool. I want to be like them. I look up to them. Somebody on TV. Somebody in sports. Somebody in whatever it is. And I find myself, as I'm sure we all do, going with the flow. When it comes to spiritual matters, brethren, we cannot waver. There's going to be false teachers around us every day of our life. Unless you live in some cocoon, under a rock, it's going to happen. But in exchange for your access, my hope in heaven, I have to hold fast. You have to not waver. Be steadfast and immovable. Ephesians 4:14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. As adult children of God, that means somebody who was not yet, not just baptized a week ago. I'm talking about those of us who have been children of God for some time now. We are called to not go wherever the waves go. We are called to take a stand. We are called to be different than our co-workers. Different than our family members who do not agree with us. Brethren, we have to do this in exchange for the access that we will receive one day in our home in heaven. The last thing I'll look at with you in verse 23 of chapter 10 of Hebrews is this. Let's read this one last time. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. This one's the one that really gets to me, brethren. I look at that verse and I see that Jesus, if He promised something to me, if God promised something from the beginning of time until now, it was fulfilled. There is not a single promise that was broken by God, nor is there one that will be broken by Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, are we that faithful? Are we as faithful as God? Are we as faithful as Jesus? Because truly, in exchange for this release of sins, for this access we have through God, this fellowship we have through God, our ability to just say a prayer at any time of the day and God will hear us, we must hold fast. Do not waver. And we must be faithful. 1 John 5:3 says, for this, I want you to hear this. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. If you say that you're a child of God, and you say that you love God, this equals the love of God, keeping His commandments. He doesn't ask us anything that's burdensome, anything that's too heavy, anything that's too hard. John 14:15, Jesus says it when He says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. It's just that simple, brethren. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But I'll tell you what we do need to do as children of God. We need to go to God in prayer. Thank Him for what He's given us in Jesus Christ. Thank Him for the sins that we don't have to carry with us. And say thank You. And then after we say thank You, then we sit there and we think, how can I do better? We can be steadfast, immovable. We can be faithful to One who is always faithful to us. If you are not yet a child of God, we have laid out the things tonight that you need to do to become saved from your sins. You just must believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Confess to other people around you that you believe that. Turn away from sin in your life and allow the access to be granted through baptism in water. If this group of Christians can help you in any way, we ask you to please let us help you. Now is as good a time as any. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a few moments. If we can help you in any way, come forward. Let me know how we can help you, and we'd be glad to do that for you right now as we stand and sing.